commanded, so I comply. Let us start by asking the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Our Father, indeed we are thankful to you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the everlasting word, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your written word, which has set the record for us to go to when we want to find out about you. And we thank you, O God, that your Holy Spirit has come to teach us therefrom. We look forward now to his guidance and his direction. As we wait upon you, we give you thanks for chains broken, for the deliverance of your saints, and for those who are seekers, that today would be the day when they will see themselves standing in the need of a Savior. Hallelujah. Bless us, we pray, as we wait upon you. We give you thanks in Jesus' most worthy and precious name. Amen. Beloved, if you have your Bibles with you, turn, or your devices, turn please to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 8. And I'm hoping today to go through the whole chapter of Matthew and part of Matthew chapter 8 and maybe part of chapter 9. So I'm going to be moving at warp speed. Verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 8. Oh, before that, let's do chapter 7, 8, and 9. In chapter 7 and verse 38, we read these words. Verse 38 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Yes, 38 and 39. 38. Oh, I'm sorry. You are correct. I'm wrong. It's 28. Last two verses of chapter 7. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So first point is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught with authority. He knew the word of God. He could take them back. He could teach them, and they understood. He did not waffle on the word of God. Chapter 8, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In the opening chapter of verses of chapter 8, we see a man stricken with an illness, a disease that in that day was sure death. But this man, this leper, had heard the Lord. He heard the Lord speaking. He heard the Lord teaching. And he realized that this man spoke with authority. And so as he came down, the man goes to him and he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, without hesitation, says, I'm willing. And he goes ahead and he touches him. Something that doesn't happen in that day and age. These people are usually driven out of the city into the outer parts. They lived in places like graveyards. But here, this man was touched and was clean. And Jesus, we see, has the power over all manner of diseases, even the ones that is a sure death sentence. As he's going through this part of the country, along comes a centurion. A centurion's servant, actually. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. And he's pleading with him because this man has a servant that is very faithful to him. And he wants this man, the servant has fallen ill. And so he says to him, Lord, he says, I wish that you would come to my house and heal my servant. I know you can do it. In other words, the centurion believed in Jesus and his ability to heal his servant. And so Jesus says, okay, I'll come to your house. And as he makes the move to come, the centurion says, wait, Lord. You know, I am a man who is in charge of 100 soldiers. And I say to them, go, and they go. And I say to them, come, and they come. Whatever I tell them to do, they respond to me. He says, Lord, I know you. I believe in what you can do. And therefore, all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. My servant will come back to life. And Jesus says, so be it. He said, sure. But then he turns around to the multitude and he says, you know, I've not seen faith like this in a long while, forever. Here's one who was willing to just say, speak the word and it will come to pass. Beloved, our brother told us this morning as he was talking to us, he said, there has been no change. There's no change in the message. There's no change in the Savior. He is still who he is. Say it, believe it, accept it. It's yours. Jesus is calling you as he's called me and he's called so many of us. And all we have to say is, Lord, say the word and I'll be healed. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise God for that. So he heals this centurion's servant. But then in verse number 14, we read that when Jesus had come into Peter's house, that's one of his disciples, he sees his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever on the bed. And so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Touched the leper, he was cleansed. Spoke the word, she was brought back to good health and life. And here now is Peter's mother-in-law. He takes her hand, and she is healed of her fever. Our sister sang, break every chain, break every chain. What is holding you back? What is keeping you down? Give it to Jesus. He can break every chain. Break every chain indeed. Yes, beloved, he goes and touches her and she is healed. Then in verse number 23, we read that he gets into a boat and he's going across the sea. And then suddenly, a storm comes up upon them. And this storm is a raging storm. What do you see in many of these examples that we're reading? It is that the enemy will bring all kinds of challenges into our lives. But as we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the power to overcome. And so the tempest comes. The disciples are panicked. They're worried because they are afraid the boat is going to go down and they will all die. And so they go to him and they cry out to him. And he speaks to the wind and the storm and calms it down. I say to you, beloved, what are the storms in your life that you are facing? What are the challenges in your life that you think is so big that Jesus can't handle? If you're here, you don't know Jesus as Savior. What is it? There's something that is saying, that is holding you back, that is making you say, I'm not ready for that yet. I can't do that yet. You know, this Jesus thing is kind of strange to me. I don't know. I must fix something first. The rich guy, not in this account, but the rich young ruler had a problem. He had done everything possible that he could think of. He was a philanthropist. He gave money away. He tithed. He did all the things that he was supposed to be doing. And then Jesus said to him, there's only one thing locked that you lack, my friend. Only one thing. Go sell what you have. Give it to the poor. And then come follow me. The scripture says that rich young ruler went away sad because he had much wealth. What was standing in his way between him and the Savior? His wealth. Now, I'm not saying that to say that we as believers cannot be wealthy. That's not what I'm saying. The point I'm making is that if it's too big for you to give up so that the Lord can bless you, it's too big. That's what I'm saying. If it's too big for you to lay down, to walk away from it and follow Jesus, it's too big. So the challenge to you, as is to me, is that I should let nothing come between me and my Savior. So he calms the elements, he calms the storm, he calms the wind. By now, if someone is looking at Jesus and seeing him performing these miracles, he must be saying to himself, what kind of man is this? There's a question that even the wind and the tempest obeys him. Yes, indeed, he had power over the weather conditions. Then he ends up into the region of Gergesa. As he comes onto this side of the country, we read that suddenly he encounters a couple of guys who are demon possessed. Now, I am sure that you're aware of the power of demons. Demons have great power and can exercise great control over the individual that it becomes possessed. And as I'm talking about this account, I remember when two guys met demon-possessed guy. and decided that they were going to show how good they were, how powerful they were. And so they said, we're going to call these demons out. But they had the wrong motive. And they had the wrong person to support them. And so they call these demons out, and the demon says, who are you? Who are you? You see, Jesus we know. But who are you? And so they jump out of the man, jumped on them, beat them up. Make them realize that you just don't get there and try to do it in your own strength. But here these two men who were demon-possessed realizes that they're in the presence of the Son of God. Listen to what they say. When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, I hope I say that correctly, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? They recognized him. What does it take, and what will it take for you to recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Good story. True story. But look at the reaction of the people who are the swine herders. Look at them. They said, then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Beloved, may it never be that you are in a position where you don't want Jesus to be around anymore. Where you say, or where the city of angels say, we don't want Jesus here no more. We want him to leave us alone. Because when that happens, it's the beginning of the end for the city of angels. Beloved, no one, none of us, as individuals or collectively, should ever, ever think, much less say, we don't want Jesus to rule over us. We don't want him to be in our midst. By the way, because they did not want him, he did leave. Because Jesus doesn't go where he's not wanted. Amazingly, the Son of God, the most powerful person, if you don't want him, he won't force himself on you. Isn't that interesting? You would think that someone who is as powerful as he is would say, you know what? Whether you like it or not, I'm just going to come into your heart and live there. But he doesn't do that. He says, you need to invite me in. Behold, I stand at your heart door, and I knock. And if any man will hear me and open, I will come into him. If you don't open, then you're saying, I don't want you. And he will leave. The whole city begged him to depart from their region. So guess what? He gets into a boat again. Right? He crosses, he goes to them, they say, we don't want you. So he gets in the boat and he crosses back over. And as he gets on the other side, and he's speaking again to multitudes, there's an interesting show of faith. You see, there was a man who couldn't walk. He could not walk. But he had heard the message of both Jesus. And he heard that Jesus was coming in his neighborhood. And he wanted so much to meet him. What a difference. The people on the other side said, leave. This person can't walk, but he wants to meet Jesus. And here's where it gets interesting. Because you see, he had some friends that he could appeal to. And as he appeals to his friend says, listen, we're going to figure out a way to get you to meet Jesus. So what do? They take him up onto the roof of the building, lift off a portion, and lures this man into the presence of Jesus. Oh, for good friends like those. Oh, for friends who will come to you or who you will go to and says, you know what? I love you too much not to want to introduce you to my Savior. That should say to us. That should say to us that we are those who are concerned about a lost and a dying world. I spoke about Sister Eileen in her absence. And just to bring you up to speed, Sister Eileen, it was that you are a lady and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who puts before you the importance of introducing people to the Lord. Whether she's on the bus, at the bus stop, going in the store, wherever and whenever she gets the opportunity, she says, she introduces someone to the Lord. We need to be a servant of that ilk. A servant who is not ashamed and not afraid to introduce others to the Savior whom we love. And so they let this man down before the Lord. And Jesus says to him, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Notice now that what he has done is he's healed the leper. He's touched Peter's mother-in-law. He spoke the word, and the servant girl of the centurion was healed. He's now at the place. He calmed the ocean, the water, the storm. He did all these things. And there was a time when he walked away because they begged him to leave, and he left. And then the paralytic is lowered down by his friends who loved him and wanted to make his wish come true. And therefore, he healed him. Told him his sins are forgiven him. If you were in any of those predicaments, any one of those predicaments, would you have loved to have had the Savior come or speak and you were set free? I dare say, yes. In the case of this man, he told him, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is the only one who can forgive sins. You see, there might be someone who can pray and be so in touch with the Lord that he can calm the tempest, or he can pray for the healing of a brother or a sister. But there's none of us here that can forgive sins. That role is left entirely up to the Master, the Lord Jesus. It is he who forgives sins. It is he who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And therefore, he can say to each and every one of us, your sins are forgiven you. We're doing good so far. We've gotten through part of chapter 7, chapter 8, we're in chapter 9. And so this man was excited because he had met the Savior and his sin was forgiven him. Now, of course, throughout all this, there have been some oppositions. There's the scribes and the Pharisees who are trying to find fault with him. There are those who are criticizing him. And they're saying all manner of stuff against him. They're building a case, as it were. Because you see, there'll come a time when they will testify falsely about him and will have him delivered up to be crucified. But it says, now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, that's verse 8, who had given such power to men. And then finally, verse number 9. Jesus passed on from where he was. He passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And so he arose and followed him. Beloved, this is the command that is given to you if you don't know Jesus as Savior. Follow me. In Matthew, the scripture doesn't say nothing more than the fact that as soon as he heard the command, he obeyed. He didn't say, well, wait, I got to tell my wife. Wait, I got to discuss it with my kids. Wait, I got to go back to the tax office or my supervisor. Wait, I got to... No. Jesus said, follow me. And immediately, he followed him. By the way, that Matthew is the one that wrote the book of Matthew. Matthew responded immediately. If you are here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, I'm sure you can look back at that time when you heard the message of God's salvation provided to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody says, will you come to the Lord today? You know what you did? You responded in the positive. There is only one way to respond positively to a command from Jesus which says, follow me. And it is to follow him immediately. Don't worry about who is going to take care of the taxes. Somebody else will get that job. They'll get a promotion. Don't worry about having to go home and discuss it with somebody. No. Jesus says, follow me. And immediately, Matthew got up and followed the Lord. My question to you today is, will you follow him? Will you follow him? And if, for some reason, you have already accepted him as Savior, he might be saying to you, go do so-and-so, or go do so-and-so. When he says that to us, we should say, yes, Lord. Or as one person said, here I am, Lord, use me. This is the important and very special responsibility we have to the Lord, to follow him wherever he leads. And when we follow the Lord, when we follow him, when we purpose in our hearts to follow him, then we shall see the success in our lives that we can only think or dream about. Because you see, our God is no man's debtor. If he takes away, if he asks you to give up something that you consider to be good, it's because he has something that is 10 times better. So don't think for a minute that he'll ask you to do something that you will not be rewarded for. You will be rewarded by the Lord. He is a debtor to no man. Follow me, is what Jesus says. Will you follow the Savior today? Does following the Savior require you walking away from a friend who you've had from childhood? It could be, because it could be that that is the friend that is keeping you away from the Savior. If that's the case, say, Lord, I love my friend dearly, but I love you more, and therefore I'll follow you. Whatever it is that's keeping you from the Savior, today is a good day to follow him. Follow the command of following the Lord Jesus. Will you do that? Will you do that? Beloved, that's all up to you. You are the only one who knows in your heart what's going on deep down. I will not even endeavor to try and figure it out. My heart is as wicked as it is until the Savior came and set me free and made me clean. But if he could set me free, if he could make me clean, then he can absolutely do it for you. Will you follow him? May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. I'm going to hand this mic back over to Pastor Paskasha, who is going to close us out. But let not today be a day that you just walk away without taking care of the business of the Lord. Whichever of those examples that we've looked at fits your bill, respond positively to the Savior for his name's sake. Pastor Paskasha.